We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. I imagine everybody has got on the agenda, so
yep.
Public comment we will go by. Agenda review. Any items to add?
Mayor and council just want to replace my time off request. I added a few dates for the 29th and 30th of March. And there's an updated March claims list. And then, Tamara, did you get the delinquent
list? Yep, it's in there.
Mm-hmm. Anything from the council? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion to adopt the agenda as stated.
So be it.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda with the changes as stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Move on to the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the fire department report. Chief Wilkentine.
Do you need a motion for that?
We should.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to allow Adam Glander, being he is retired, to be on the rescue reserve. Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I guess at this time, Adam? Says certificates awarded to Adam Glander in recognition of valuable contributions to the City of Hamburg for serving 21 years as a volunteer firefighter for the City of Hamburg. From the City Council, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Been discussed before. Basically, this is for starting 2017. We talked about it for 3 months. So that's what the fire department feels is in order. So, any discussion? So we should have a motion to approve the increase for next year.
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the officer's increase in salary for the year starting 2017. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Personnel committee, update on that. We're moving along. We've been meeting once a month. A couple officers from the fire department meet with the personnel committee. Next meeting will be March 24th at 4:30 up here. What we originally set to do, we were going to try and put the fire department in the handbook. And after looking at different handbooks around, it was probably going to be more confusing that way. So we're taking the handbook out and making a separate one for the fire department. Just, otherwise, it was, when we got into it, it was going to be a lot of full-time stuff, part-time, and it was going to be hard to differentiate between the two. We started with, we have four or five different departments. We kind of looked at theirs, found one we liked, and we've been making it fit for us.
No, I think the process is going to be good, and at the end we're going to have a better product than we had before we started. Matt.
It makes more sense to go this route after we've looked at kind of other cities' policies and looking at the city's policy. It would be better defined for full-time, part-time employees versus the fire department to differentiate them because of all the differences.
I still personally, I look at January 1st to be done, so we're kind of, at least from the fire end, we're looking at taking a little bit at a time instead of trying to do it all at once. Seems to be going good, I think.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that, unless there's any questions. The Green Isle Outlay Agreement, this was brought up last year. We started with Green Isle and NYA. NYA, we got done right away. Green Isle, we weren't sure on their end what the boundaries were, so then we wrote up a different one that was going to be a mutual aid or auto aid just for us. And after talking with them about a month ago, we finally got set what their auto aid is, and it worked out a lot easier this way. It's just a mutual auto aid agreement now. It's going to be pretty much the same as what Norwood's is. From our end, we're going to be starting Green Isle. Anything in Sibley County in our district, and for them we'll get started anything within their city limits and north of 25, I believe it was. I gave it to Chief Foss, he had their mayor and city clerk sign it a week ago, I think, and he brought it back. I don't think I need to approve it, I would imagine, get it signed, and then we'll get one copy. We got a meeting with them tonight at Washington Lake. They told Chief Foss I'd bring one back to him.
Yes, it's pretty much cut and dry, just like with the other ones we got.
The only difference was the district areas, and then the dispatch center was different because with NYA it was all through one dispatch. We're here. We just had a write-up that was the two county dispatches working together. Other than that, it's probably just copy and paste it from Norwood. They put Norwood up with Green Island.
Any discussion from the council? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion to approve the auto aid agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the auto aid agreement with the Green Isle Fire Department. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I just could go with that to explain how the auto aid, we're already doing it. In a sense, this is just for ISO, and we had ISO last year. A mutual aid agreement didn't cover auto aids. So we had to write up a separate wording for the same thing. I mean, in reality, this is what we're already doing, it's just putting it in paper. City offices, we brought up the membership last week. We're discussing going up a Ridgeview Water and other all kinds of different ideas. So we decided we didn't need to make a decision right now. Just hold up on it and see what our options are.
Or what?
What?
Well, I didn't hear what you said last.
We said we'd hold off for a while and see what kind of our options are.
Okay.
I think you all got an annual report. Tonight is our annual township report. We got one crew is in the Young America Township right now. We'll be moving to Washington Lake Township in Greenough after this meeting. Can skim through it quick. On the top, the Relief Association contribution was the city's contribution plus the 2% aid was put into the account, so that's in there. And there was also the $6,000 that we had that accounting year last year, that's in there. So that's what that $28,855 is. The rest, I think, is all pretty self-explanatory. Our total operating expense for the year was $81,593, minus the two township fees, over $13,000 in grants and reimbursements last year. This is where we put the $16,000 in state aid. We put it back in at the bottom, just to clarify it. And with the equipment sales from the J5 and the trailer last year, the total expense to the city was $20,561.
Go to page 2.
Because the mayor said at the beginning, it changes every other year. Response is one thing that you notice. The city of Hamburg response is only 17. We had 267 hours. Same with Washington Lake. There's only 4, but 79 hours. With 10 responses, only 96 hours in Young America Township. The reason the hours are so weird, we had 2 big working structure fires. One was in the city of Hamburg, one was Washington Lake. So that's why the hours, if you notice, the averages don't seem right. That's the reason for that. And that's also why the mutual aid response is lower. They're usually a lot more hours because that's usually bigger fires where we're going mutual aid on, more manpower, more time.
At the risk of sounding ignorant, what exactly is Skywarn?
That would be, they've been down for the last few years. What is it? Let's say tornado or heavy winds or something's coming through, the dispatch will trip our figures and then we'll have a crew sit here and we've got a couple different spots, usually out west, depending where it's coming from. We'll sit up and wait. So that'll be when the weather service, when you watch TV, the National Weather Service getting confirmed reports, that'll be people like us all spotting and calling back to dispatch.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Thank you.
I love those people. Go to the last page, and that's self-explanatory. That's just what the 2 townships, their units, per unit price is. 2015 was the last payment for both townships on the heavy rescue. They paid the tanker off the year before, and they had said they're both going to keep that right around $15,000 they're going to keep levying for. Or replacement of a new engine in the future.
So they've just basically got money in their fund now for everyone. I
right.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they'd keep it, and then when you bought something, they'd just pay their bill out of their own account. And if I'm open for questions, anybody has anything on the report or anything else?
So, Justin, just on the total responses, so then, like, for next year, that's kind of the number we would use for the paid on call, right, the 42?
Yeah, that 42, we figured at 45.
That's probably low.
The 5-year average we did was 45, but that, per call, is tough to say. Fires are a lot more. Right now, I think today we're on our 11th for the year, which is about average, a little high for average, but it's early in the year. We haven't had our 2 months without a call yet either. Yeah, right now I'd say we're sitting right about on pace for that.
under the township payments, what exactly is a unit that you're getting paid for? Because I see it's 100 on the YA side, and then 85 on Washington Lake, and then it's also different 91 and 86 for 2016 and 2017.
That was last year, Young America Township. We went through the units and actually counted them, and we were charging them for more than we had.
What do you consider a unit, I guess, is more or
less? A residence or an address.
Okay.
Like, what do we call them in the city?
Parcel?
Yeah, a parcel. Or a parcel with a house.
Occupied parcel.
Right. We don't charge for open lands. Would be all residents or even businesses.
Just a question. You know, like you said, for open land, you've got a lot of people who rent, you know, that aren't in our area. What happens if that cornfield starts on fire? They pay no taxes, no nothing. Do you think that's right, or is that just a norm for the whole state or country, or? But wouldn't it be fair?
I don't know how you do it.
I know, but I mean...
I know what you're saying.
You could spend a lot of manpower and equipment on umpteen acres that...
Yeah, or fire, you'll get that.
You know.
No different than the forest, U.S. Fish and Wildlife land either. If we get a fire out there, that's going to be one of the biggest fires we have. We don't collect a dollar off of that.
Oh, they don't pay anything either?
We do
collect on them.
Yeah. They collect off of that?
Yeah, because that's written into our ordinance.
Okay.
And the railroad.
One time it was counted as a unit, but now it's
right.
Off as a unit.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah, we took that off because then when we redid the,
well, we did the
ordinance unit. For the service calls.
Wouldn't the landowner, and like renting land and stuff, wouldn't the landowner be, what should I say, liable for that?
I imagine that'd be just something like where the FD would almost have to put a claim in, or the city.
City would.
You know, like say if it was an accident, that's somebody from out of the total area. Their insurance would get billed.
Yeah, I don't know how, if that's part of a mutual aid deal, since we, I don't know how it works.
Well, mutual aid, I mean, you could be, somebody from Chaska come through here, you know, it'd still be, well, I better not say, I don't know for sure. It would be Norwood or Green Isle, Plato.
Put that into a
we wouldn't. But we've got the mutual aid agreement with.
Right. Okay. I don't know how that works. I guess paper goes off, we put it out.
Everyone has to check with, I don't know, somebody, but it's just, don't you think it would make sense in a way, wouldn't it?
Wasn't there that one fire on the highway out here? A fire or a flat tire or something? It was on a truck, but they got collected insurance off of that. That's a couple of years already, though.
Car fires, that's where you're seeing car fires or accidents.
Yeah, but that would almost be like the same on a, like a cornfield fire or something.
Well, that's what we got, maybe if we're going to pursue it, figure it out.
Yeah.
Because we've got, land rented in the area here.
Other towns, other fire departments maybe could just check or something. See if anybody else has got anything.
If there was a plan out there or if that's just...
I think you as a city can do what you want. The city county, they bill all their residents. They use their P, Green Isle, Arlington. You call 911, you're getting a bill for a fire. Even if you pay taxes, they call it a user fee. It's whatever the city is that written out.
Yeah, we come down to the ordinance.
Okay.
All the ordinance is written. That's something
Yeah. When we have these meetings, we can maybe take a quick gander at.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask the SERB and see if anything's up there.
Yeah.
I can ask Green out there, so whatever you see, and I'm going to have to follow and see. But I mean, they charge for everything. And they're going to charge for this. But like Adam said, they charge for every call.
All Sibley County?
Or just I don't know what all Sibley County. I know Green. I
just
know
Green.
Yeah, Arlington do it for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll check into it once.
Yeah.
You know. Can't hurt. Anything else, Karen?
Just a quick note. Easter egg hunt will be March 20th up at the hall. 2 o'clock. Grandkids, grandkids. There all kinds of things they have plans.
You've got 25 current members. Do you have any?
24.
24. Well, no, 24. Yeah.
Adam retired.
Right. Okay.
There's 4 or 5 applications out there. People keep saying, oh, yeah, I got it.
All right.
Justin, this was really a nice letter that you sent out on the 9th. I don't know who wrote it or drafted it, but it was well written, very informative, and see that whoever wrote it, it's that.
So we'll let him know a bunch of people. One wrote it, and everybody else fixed what he said.
That checking on somebody after the power's been out for 12 hours, I've never heard of that being done before. Is that something we've come up with?
It seemed like an easy thing. We have one couple, been called to him a few times, and he's one that said the power goes out and we help. So
it's a good concept.
Yeah. Simple enough to do. We've only had one coming in so far, so we didn't figure there'd be a
whole lot of. Yeah.
But there is some. At least we can get to
that. That's good.
All right. Thank you.
Easy now.
All right. We'll move on, Mr. Polterbeck.
Good evening. To the case of the missing 32,000 gallons of water.
So basically, what we got in October, for the month of October, Mr. Baldwin had a usage of 35,900. Since that time, usage has been 4,700, 4,700. 3,900 the months pursuing. So really, and that's about in the average range of what they've used, anywhere from 2,800 to 4,800 previously. So where the discrepancy is, I don't know. I mean, usually, if the meter was bad or something was wrong with the meter, it would show discrepancies moving forward. So, I mean, obviously that water went through the meter.
Just that long.
Yeah. What it was, I don't know. But typically we've, had a policy that if it goes through the meter,
so I was really interested in the last meeting that I was here, and we talked about this a little bit, and you brought a couple ideas of ways that it could have went through that I might not have been aware of. So being an engineer, I thought, well, let's do some math. Let's see what I can come up with here for possibilities. So I looked at my toilet, and so I've got two bathrooms in my house, and they're both pretty heavily used, but if I have a running toilet, my refill is about 2 gallons per minute. It's a run time in my toilet. So I said, okay, so if one of my toilets got stuck and ran for 32,000 gallons, that would take 16,000 minutes. And that would be equal to 266 hours, or it would have had to run for 11 days. Pretty sure that didn't happen, but I thought, well, that is a possibility. But then I got to think about my water softener. Now, in my house, I have an on-demand water softener, so it actually counts the gallons that go through, and then it recharges based on that. I use about 30 pounds of salt in a normal 4,000-gallon month, so right around there. So 30 pounds per 4,000 gallons. If the water had gone through my water softener, it would have went to, you know, everything else in the house except for one other line goes through there. And so I would have used an additional 240 pounds of salt or six 40-pound bags that month. And I can tell you my wife did not haul those into the house. So I only have one other line that goes, that bypasses the water softener, and that goes to the out, it goes outside, it's an outside faucet to my backyard. And that one runs about 4 gallons a minute. So if that one would have been running, it would have taken it run for about 5.5 days. And my guess is if it would have ran for 5.5 days, Larry Mueller or Diane Hoffman would have been over chewing my, you know what, with that much water in there. So I don't know. I'm an electrical engineer, non-mechanical. I have no idea what could have happened to that meter or why it did what it did. But everything I can see says it didn't go through there. So the water is just not because there.
The only way a meter will move is by water going through it. And when the meter wears out, it reads slower. It doesn't speed up.
Yeah, I don't know. Talking with a couple other people around, the only, you know, we were talking about this, and they said the only other thing they could even think of that they even noticed anything different was there was some air in that we thought we noticed in lines, which was true. You know, once in a while you get a little burp of air comes through the line. I don't know if there's maintenance going on in the system or something like that. I don't know if that would have any impact on the meter or not. That was the only thing that I know of. So,
if anyone in your neighborhood would have the same issue?
I don't know. It depends on the meter, right? I mean, obviously, this is not something that happens a lot. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here talking about this, right? So, I guess what I'm recommending is I recommend that we average the September and November bill and adjust the October bill to whatever that month is. So whatever it was, I paid September and November, the two on the other side of that. Average those and adjust the October bill for that month. There's no way I can see the 32,000 gallons ran through my system.
What? I wanted a hose kind of behind him. It'll be on Robert. He had mentioned that his daughter came in and the toilet kept running. What was that? That went for a week. Just to kind of compare, I know.
That one ran for 3 days.
3 days?
We were gone on the weekend and ran for 3 days.
He said it was kind of, he thought it was a week.
What's
that? I thought he thought it was a week or something.
That was 90,000 gallons.
How many did Meredith?
There was one on
32,000. So we have a discrepancy.
How much?
32,000. Is what we're saying we have the discrepancy. Well, based on kind of what my average.
About 32.
Yeah, about 32,000.
Okay, so if you got 32, he had what, 90?
He had 90.
Yeah, that's 90,000. There's another.
And that was 3 days?
He said he was gone for the weekend and his daughter came home from college and used the bathroom. And I went back to reread his meter and I talked to him. I said, you had a high reading. And he thought nothing of it because he was, you know, doing some meter garage.
The one on Robert was 18,000. We also had another one where it ran for about a week and that was 90,000.
So
the one on Robert was 18,000, 17,900.
18,000 in 3 days? So yeah. If you're into 30,000, that would be equivalent to 6 days a week.
A week.
He said that the chain had come off and got in between the wall floor, and his daughter didn't know how to stop it. he'd even know about it, but his wife said that she just took the chain off and re-hooked it up. So that was from Friday to Sunday. Yes.
Yeah, again, I thought about that, but, you know, I guess that is an outside possibility. But all the water that goes through my toilets goes through my water softener. And my water softener would have recharged about 240 pounds worth of salt.
Like Jeremy said, it's just the idea for the meter to turn, the water has to go through. And I know we've had some issues in the past where...
I don't believe, Greg, maybe you can help me out. I don't recall any construction at that time. I believe the street project or anything that would have, you know, charged the system or...
No, the last time that I turned the water out here was just this last week when we had the break in front of the hall. So there was probably some air in the lines and stuff. I mean, I was over the hydrants trying to get it all, but you don't get it all out. So.
Is it possible to check the lift station readings for the month before the month this happened and the month after? And see if those are consistent, or if there's a spike in the month when he had this excessive water usage. I know that's kind of a crude way to do it, but
well, did the water go through the sewer? Or did it get dumped out back on the lawn?
I mean, that minimum amount is going to be hard to detect. You know, when you're using you know, 1 million gallons a month. It's going to vary here and there,
yeah.
You know, a couple hundred thousand, some 30,000 to find.
It's just a
30,000 gallons, yeah, right. Is like trying to find a needle in a haystack when you're dealing with 1 million gallons
I was
of
just
water
thinking
a month.
Of the spigot out the back of the house, if that was on, the water wouldn't have gone through the sewer.
Right.
Just,
no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that, you checked that and it's, that wasn't the problem?
Well, 32,000 gallons, I don't know if you dumped that in your backyard, you might.
Especially in cold weather.
Yeah, well, and it's October, so, you know, you're not watering the lawn, you're not doing the garden or anything like that going on, and somebody left it on, so, and it's right at the back of the house, so I probably would have had water in my basement.
I would think you'd notice it, yeah.
Well, I guess the city's policy in the past was, is basically if it went through the meter, it was billable, correct?
Have we had an issue where we've changed it? And if we have, what was the reason why we did it?
The only alternative we would have is to take his meter out, send it in to be tested. And if it read correctly, then what we've done in the past, if it didn't read correctly, if it wasn't within 10 gallons or 5 gallons or whatever, you know, discrepancy you want to put on the reading per minute, then we would go back and take an average of the 4 months before that. And then we would do that. And that's if the meter showed a discrepancy.
So. And the cost of doing that is?
Probably a couple $100 to have it tested. And typically what we've done, that's at the homeowner's expense unless it's proven to show that the meter has a discrepancy.
And don't you think, Jeremy, that based with the history before this happened and after it happened, you know, the meter would probably come back as reading correctly?
I would have to think so. You know, just looking at the account, like I said, it went average usage, big spike, and then back to average usage. You'd think there's something wrong with the meter.
It would happen again.
It would happen. And, yeah. You know, air in the line, yes, that does happen, but I can't see that much air, you know, being pushed through the...
Yeah,
through, you know, I mean, it's so hard for me, and it's hard for you. I mean, we don't live there. Because the question I get most often is, how do I use that much water?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you that. You know, I'm billing up 210 accounts. I can't monitor everybody's individual, you know, account. With the program, we can do that to flag it. I mean, you know, obviously it gets flagged. it'll come up and flag it when we put in the readings. But, I mean, and it just isn't cost effective to read it weekly to try to catch these things, you know. You know, and the only thing to kind of help a situation like this is to go to a different type meters and a metering system. Then you're, you know, you're looking at $100,000 plus to change out all the meters and implement that system. You know, which then you could set up to read on a daily basis if you wanted, if you went to a radio read type system. You know, but that's big money to make those changes. It's hard. I mean, I sympathize for residents when stuff like this happens. I've had a huge bill once because the kids left the water hose on overnight. You know, that's easy because, you know, you can, sometimes you can tell because if it's dry out and there's a green patch, you know, you probably figure out something's going on here. You know, but in the house too, I mean, I've seen it where people, you know, have had big bills, but usually they'll come in and say, "Yeah, I found a leaking toilet. You were right." You know, or something to that effect. You know, when there's no explanation, it makes it difficult to, you know, pinpoint what's causing it.
So what's the dollar amount that's in question here?
Let's see, the bill was for $385, and the typical bill around that period was about, I don't know, about $110. So the difference being $285, $275.
It's about right, yeah, right in that ballpark.
Council thoughts? I mean, we've had a couple instances before here for the public effect. And
this is only the first time.
Yeah, we never had anything like this.
And being said one spike, boy, I mean.
Yeah, I know. Numbers are there. I mean, nobody's calling anybody a liar or nothing, but I mean, it's just the numbers are there. Where did it go? You know?
Well, and we're making the assumption that it did go through the meter, but my data says it didn't go through the meter. So I don't know what's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just put it in the game.
Council, we got to put some closure to it one way or the other.
Yeah.
One thing, nothing against Mr. Polkerbeck, but one thing I want to remind council is that whatever you do tonight here is going to set precedence. So.
Yeah, that's, and in the past it's been whatever went through the meter was paid for, from what I gather.
Well, we've been taking the late fees on.
Yeah, we have.
Well, I don't know if it necessarily sets a precedent because the other times that people realize that they actually
It very easily can because now once I read this or hear this, if I have a high usage, not saying people are doing it, not saying you do it,
right. But
we've had this. Then they come up here and say, "You did it for him." They don't have. I like to live on the honor system, but we know we live in a society that doesn't always work that way. I'm just, you know, trying to look out for the city because I've talked to other cities. I've talked to Greg. I've talked to who helps us out. And, the policy is if it goes through the meter, you know, otherwise it's lost revenue for the city.
Well, and that's assuming that the water actually went through the meter. Then it's really lost revenue. Otherwise it's not. It's gained revenue.
But how do we know either way? You know, we can
sit here. One of the reasons I live in Hamburg is because I assume that people here are a little more honest than perhaps.
not, I'd like to vote that also.
So that's one of the reasons I really like this community. I'm probably going to be here. I wouldn't be here arguing the way I am.
I know, and that's why I say it's tough.
It is tough.
For both sides to sit in this situation, it is difficult.
Council?
Well, I guess, I mean, since the meter read accurately, or what it seems to be accurately prior to that spike and then accurately afterwards, I mean, if we wanted to move the needle forward and determine if it really was the meter, then I would say we'd have the meter tested. But if it does come back as being right on, then unfortunately, then not only will you'll be on the hook for the bill, but also for the cost of doing the test based on what we've done in the past. I guess it would leave it in your court if you're up to wanting to take that wager and see if that is actually what's going on.
Well, based on the data from the last two readings, why would I? That would be a little crazy for me to do that.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't know too much about these meters, but I do know in mechanical systems, you know what? It only takes one number to flip twice instead of just once to fix it. You know? And I don't know how you'd ever detect that or how the meters are ever set up to prevent it. I have no idea how that works, but. So, yeah, I think I'd be a little crazy to go down that route.
Yeah.
So. Jeremy, have we ever had this happen before with anybody else in the city?
Yeah.
Where you have a phantom reading?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you can't explain it?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen here and
since
there.
Since I've been on, it's happened twice.
But I'd have to say, majority of the time, people find
yes.
the cause or the root of the problem.
The last two incidences, they found out where the water was going. One was a stool.
So, kind of the history, you know, it went somewhere. It went through, it went somewhere. Some people know where it went, some don't. So, basically, the Polkerbecks are looking at, what, about $225. Right, for 270.
Right in there.
270 to 75. Like Jeremy said, I hate to go against what has been precedent in the city already. Just open up something. Council?
The only thing I can think of is if you could, yeah. We've always went through that. If it's on the meter, something, it must have went through the meter. It must have went somewhere. What we did. The only thing I can think of right now is to pay you the $275, but let you have 2 months of no interest or something on it or something.
No late fees or something.
No late fees or something, yeah. But I know the late fees add up real fast.
Well, that was, yeah. Okay. So that was agreed to the last council meeting. We talked and said, well, until we get this resolved, we won't put late fees on.
More or less being on a payment schedule.
Oh, you mean going forward?
Yes. Yeah. We went through this before. Two other times before on these meters. The last one was kind of a, and did we send a meter in that time? Did we set one down? I know there was some questions. We had a guy out, we talked to him, or you had talked to him. If there's anything in that line that turned that, something had to turn that meter to get them numbers to come up.
I don't think we ever sent one in, as long as I can remember here.
We must have had a guy out here, because I can remember this with...
Because that was the same situation.
What we did at one time is, I think Larry and Dennis
set it
up in the shop.
Yes, that's what it was.
Ran it through and checked the meter.
Yeah. So, and like if we go to a different type of a meter, like we was talking, that's lots and lots of money. But the meters we got now, how old is your meter? I don't know. I think all the meters are pretty decent.
7 or 8 years, maybe.
Yeah. Touch reading, so.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
I'm just going off what manufacturers right. tell me yep. and others, and I don't know. It's like stuff underground.
Yeah.
How did it break? I don't know. I couldn't see it, so.
Also, we had a.
That would be.
We had other things to handle today too.
Yeah, that would be my suggestion. I don't know, just to going forward to close, put a closure on this thing. I don't know.
I guess we almost have to have it as a motion.
I'm looking for a different. I want his opinion on this, what he thinks of this. I know what he thinks, but I just want him here to say it. Merritt, come on, buddy.
You want to hear me say it, huh?
Yeah.
I do understand the position that the council's in trying to determine these things. I would challenge you guys to not consider the idea that everybody's treated the same. All the time, okay. That's not always maybe the best way to go with things. But I guess if that's the route you're going to go, then I guess what I would request is that you just add like an extra 100 on preceding water bills until that 275 is paid off or something like that. So, but
that can be done, right?
So I can for 3 months add $100 for 3 months or whatever with no interest.
Right.
No late fees.
$100.
Waive the late fees until paid off
or something like that.
I think that's fair.
So somebody want to make it as a motion so we can proceed? Like a payment plan? No.
I would make that motion that we take the excessive amount and divide it by 3 so that you can pay it off in 3 payments over a 3-month period with no interest and no penalty and no late fees.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to allow the outstanding October bill to be divided 3 ways, be applied to the next 3 months without any penalties involved. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks for your understanding.
You know what? Thank you guys. This is not easy stuff.
It's tough.
This is hard stuff. Absolutely.
It sucks.
But I think
we spent a lot of time on this, and we more time than probably needed to be spent on in city business.
Well, we're going
to
dedicate the time that's got coming.
And by doing that, by doing what we've just done, I think we have set a precedent, but it's a precedent that benefits the resident and the city.
And that we're still willing to work with.
And everybody wins here.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you. I'll stop in tomorrow, and I'll see if we can just get this set up. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
You guys have a nice evening.
You as well.
Mr. Detail.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Dave, are you going to be here with the
with Mr. Ishii?
Yeah, Jim. He's probably in the room.
Yeah, he might be.
Dave, Jim said he wouldn't be able to make it till 8.
Okay, that's fine. So. This is good stuff.
Well, I figured that's what you were here for, but I didn't want to ignore you.
No, that's right. Thank you.
Okay.
Alrighty.
We're here trying to resolve that lot situation up there on Grass Street. I'd like to put that duplex in there. And I really don't want to do a subdivision on that. Those lots are, they're really not a good lot. I mean, it's a good rental lot, but it isn't a real good single family dwelling here. Because we got that 75-foot easement on the back, and we got a railroad right away back here. Those lots really should have, they're very undesirable residential lots. So my plan here is to put that duplex in there, and it fits the lot perfect without any variances or anything else. It fits in there nice. And I really don't want to make it a townhouse because I don't believe that. It's always going to be, more than likely, it's always going to be a duplex. You know, I would just as soon have one sewer and water sack of whack, or I'll probably have to pay 2 sack of whack charges on there. I don't know how much they are, what you're getting. But I just want to use that one hookup in there. And that way I paid a sewer and water bill, and I know what's going on there. Sometimes, you know, the tenants don't pay, they're more likely to pay the electric bill and the heat bill. Sometimes that water bill, they just kind of run away from. I've got one in Jordan, when, you know, all of a sudden, 6 months later, I get a water bill for $700-$800. This way, when I pay it, I know I include that in the rent. When I walk up to them and say I need $600 to $700 for that water bill, you know, it's a stuttering and a stammering and a... Yeah. This way I put that right in my rent, and you guys get paid. And otherwise, that bill comes back at me. You guys have thrown all my taxes. As a city, you can do that. You can do a garbage bill. That's a little different. Or XL Energy or gas. They can't come back at me. But that water bill is always a stickler.
Theoretically, wouldn't both of them go to him?
Well, I have a problem with just the one hookup. I don't agree with it. It's a headache down the road. Major, major headache for the city down the road. Yeah. It would be fine now because you have one owner. But the problem you're going to get into is when you do sell that duplex, at that time, you know, if you sell it to one owner, you know, what are the chances of that? That's a big gamble the city would be taking. I highly recommend 2 service connections for each building. The whack and sack, that can be discussed amongst council, those charges. As far as splitting the lot, at this time, I think we'd be okay not splitting that lot because we'd have one owner. But if you were to sell it and we were to separate them duplexes at that time, I would require, you know, that the split would take place, the subdividing of that lot. But I've talked to engineers, I've talked to our planner, and just for me, I've seen too many headaches in this city of things done in the past, of tying into this, tying into that. Plus, the engineers don't recommend having one line coming in and then doing a Y off that because you're going to have water pressure issues. So that's the other thing you're going to run into. Then you're going to have people complaining about that. I mean, I want to work with Mr. Detail on this. And as far as splitting the lots, I know that was one of your big things. I don't have a problem with keeping it one as long as we have one owner on that. And I've talked to our planning consultant on that, and they're fine with that. But they've highly recommend that we have a set of services for...
So we put another service in the street. They give the street for another service.
Yeah, in the city... And that's why we charge the whack and sack charges, because it'd be the city's responsibility to put them stubs in. And then it'd be the homeowner's responsibility from basically the water curb stop into the house, and then from the stub, or sewer... into the house.
Yeah, well, that's standard. So you would take care of the large stub in the street? And
yep, the street from the main into the
what are we looking at as a... well, I know it would be a sack of wax charge. What do you think that would be on that each one? I'm not sure. I have to pay 2 anyway, but I mean, just kind of an idea. What's your rate on that?
It's $3,500
for
a piece.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd be looking at, you know, 14.
$35. Don't permit the $37,000, probably about another $8,000-$9,000 for a building permit, I suppose.
Probably, yeah.
Well, we talked last month, you know, possibly working something out because, you know, we want you to proceed and we want the city to.
Right, I mean,
you know.
It's in my inventory, they consider your inventory, neither one of us is going to gain any ground on it. The more people we can put in this town, you know, that house is actually, it'd take $150 a month hit on it if that one was in, let's say, Carver or someplace, you know, I mean, but it's out here, you know.
Yeah.
It's And I have the thing is, I haven't got that much in the lot either. I mean, I'd have more in the lot here. But we could, I suppose, I'd like to put that in there. I'd actually like to if this one works out, I'd like to hook up on it, you know, that those lots would be, they're a good rental lot. You know, I mean, it's really undesirable for a residential, because somebody's going to want to put an addition on the house, and we're backed up, then we're in that easement, you know. Yeah. So if they're a rental, they stay what they are, you know.
So,
well, I think what Jeremy says makes.
I think
Jeremy makes good sense when he says, you know, it may not be a problem now, but down the road. And
it's going to be more of an expense.
Sure. You know, right. Exactly. And I guess I have a question. I don't know about subdividing, but so if we've got one piece of property that's got two housing units on it, if those housing units get sold so that you've got two individual owners,
it would have to be subdivided, then that lot would have to be subdivided at that time.
And so you don't have to worry about setbacks or anything like that. So
you have different parcel identification number, everything on there.
No, Jeremy's got a good point, and I agree wholeheartedly with him, and it's further down the road.
I'm not here to fight with you.
No.
And then the one thing I did check on, too, because them variances were granted so long ago, we'd have to go through the process and reissue them variances.
You mean, for a setback on the back? This one here will make that, it's right up to the setbacks, and the building is designed for that lot.
Right, but what we did is we granted variances a long time ago, but in talking to our planner, they have basically said that has expired over the years. So what we would do is just hold another public hearing and then just re-grant them variances unless there'd be objection. But I don't see any issue with the objection, but that's something, you know, we'd probably look at setting up next meeting.
So it's drawn to fit that.
So I think what we would do is just reissue them variances. Yeah. And I don't see any issue at all.
Yeah, if you're going to go ahead with this, we could set that up right away and get that over with.
Yeah, let's go ahead. We'll get. I'll go along with that with you guys.
So basically, look for a motion to set public hearing for what's the April meeting? With everybody's phones, they'd have it handy.
Well, that's coming.
Trish Keller! We got one of them
at home!
April?
Yes. Second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday would be about the 12th.
You know, that old Bud Baker, you probably remember him from Cologne there. Every time I'd done something in Cologne, he'd be on me. But it was one working there.
Yeah.
And I had a crane sitting in there for setting trussle, and I blocked the street off with some garbage cans and tape, and he comes up to me and he says, "What if there was a fire in here, a fire truck? Where would that fire truck go?" And I said, "Well," I said, "in Carver, we got the fire trucks, they got steering wheels on them." He was so mad at me, he drove right through the tape and the barrels he made behind the car.
I guess at this point we got to make a motion now.
For the 12th? They're going to be okay?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Date and time.
We'll make that work.
April 12th, what time? Council?
Might as well set it for a regular meeting at 6:45. You want to go?
Hold it before. We can do it during
the hour. You want me up here for that? Okay. 6:45.
April 12th.
On April
12.
Okay. Wonderful.
Well, we gotta make a motion. Right? Get this done.
So moved. Second.
Motion made and seconded to have the. I lost my place.
Set public hearing for variance request by Mr. D. Town.
For April 12th.
470 Grant Street.
For April 12th at 6:45. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now we just got the whack and sack charges yet to figure out.
So what we're charging now is $3,500 for water, and then it's $3,500 for sewer.
Oh, so what, $7,000 a unit?
Mm-hmm.
Clarify and discuss with council. So one of the things we talked about is I did an engineer's estimate of roughly what it would cost to, put them stubs in and services, and it was anywhere from $55 to $7,500. Hence the reason why, then charges are set at that price. So really, what the city would be incurring, we're probably looking at least for the new service line, you got to charge the whack and sack to cover your costs. Maybe on the other line, it's something you can negotiate.
So there is one set of services in there already. One water, one sewer in there already. So you're going to have to dig.
It's pretty warm once you do that.
Yeah, but there, then you got to dig one water and one sewer in. So that's pretty much basic. You got to cover the cost on that, or the $3,500 each for, which is seven.
So the one further to the north of your property now, that's got one in it, right?
Correct.
So if you ever get that far, you probably have the same discussion.
Oh, what?
You probably have the same discussion, because they have another service.
Yeah.
I don't know if the council has got any thoughts. I think maybe said it last meeting or not.
We had to pay for putting it in there originally.
Right. That's okay. The whole project was part of the infrastructure. Yep. So if you're looking at $14,000.
What's the permit? The other $22,000, $23,000
for permits back from
last year.
If you want to work with Mr. D. It's hard to play around with what we're going to be incurring. What's there is there now, which has been paid for. But maybe we can work out something a little bit of a break.
You'd like to recoup some of that money anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Give them a break on what's in there.
Exactly.
Jeremy, has this ever happened before, a situation like this?
I doubt it.
So, again, we're back to precedent.
Did we ever figure out what the valuation of that duplex would be as far as what the tax roll would be for us?
No, I never got any information, so I didn't have any numbers on the cost of the duplex and what the impact would be. Over time, we're going to get that money back.
Well, that was my point.
Are you going to be building the second one right away?
Well, I don't know. I've never hooked up on that other lot. I got to get this one in once and see how that works. Then I would probably look to see it after those other lots.
Well, that's our, right now if you're talking about this, right? Now would be the time to talk about the other one, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot. Maybe $9 a year. What's that lot valued at?
I believe I have the name of that lady that got that lot.
Did the city pay to put it at original service there?
Well, you didn't buy that lot yet, the other one?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No. I just have the one here, that one next to your brother.
John, yeah.
I'm just going to shoot through the figure.
So I guess what I would like to do is just thinking ahead here, to make this work, is if we could go back and Chris could amend his motion for the public hearing, that it would address 470 Brad Street and 480 Brad Street. So that way we can do a variance for both those lots at the same time so we don't have to go through this process again.
So amended.
Second. Motion made and second to amend the motion to include the adjoining lot.
Let's see what's going on.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we'll do for both parcels.
Maybe we can see what we got stuck in making that hook, doing that tap in there once too. Maybe we could adjust. It comes in a little better. Maybe we could soften the hole a little bit there. And then tackle that.
Sure,
state called Powell's Law of Liquid, would help get this thing up in cash flow.
No.
But would rather than 14, say the city would
yeah. 12. Yeah, so if you got it in there for 4 or 5 or something like that, then let's use that number, whatever the cost was to put it in.
You know.
You know, and maybe we can stick it in there too.
No.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. Well, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to putting that thing. We got all the equipment to do it. So, you know, if we can do it in house, we can get by a little cheaper. You know, I'd say, sure. Save a few dollars.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not what we haven't done before.
You're saying you would put in the.
Yeah, we cut the street and put that tap in and sit run that other. All in there and water shut off.
And the water is for both?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
So how do we arrive at a figure?
I mean, if it's normally going to be 14 roughly, mm-hmm. and we bring it to 12, that's a pretty decent compromise. And the other part, too, is we'll get the parcel on the tax roll at a higher tax rate than what it currently is.
Yeah, because right now we're roughly talking about $150 on that.
Yeah, there ain't much in there, but some assessment that I pay on. I think it's about $800 a month or a year on there, if I'm not mistaken. $800 or $900 with the assessment.
Right.
So it would probably be, life old tax would be $3,000 on that. And just, you know, shooting from the hip.
Yeah, yeah, most likely, yeah.
Anywhere from 26 to 3. It's, well, I figure I can get that in, the 90,000 and a half in there, I can put it in. That's what my goal numbers are.
So if the city does this, it's $3,500 for water, $3,500 for sewer, times two. So that's how we get to $14,000. And our charges for that are probably in the neighborhood of $12,000. According to our estimate that you got?
It's already stubbed in.
Okay.
Once that's already stubbed in, we have to add another set.
Okay.
Right.
And we're looking at basically $5,000 to $7,000.
For that second one?
For that stubbed in the second set.
Okay.
Well, let's just say that 6,500. And then we would put it in there, so that would be, we'd take 65 off that 7,000 if we stubbed it in ourselves.
The only thing is we got the street.
Yeah, we have to fix the street too. Yeah. I mean, it'll be just done like you would do it or you would have it done. I mean, you're going to be watching. You'll be overseeing what we're doing anyway.
So you're saying basically you would do the work?
Yeah.
And the city would oversee it?
Yeah.
And we'd have to approve it?
Yeah.
Right. And then basically we charge them for the one.
The one and then
for the one,
sir. Let's say you want $7,000 and for that sort of water hookup. And we run that. If we run that, let's just say 6,500, we come in the middle of that, or 6,000, between 6 and 5, wherever we hit that number in the middle. So we would take 6,000 off that 7, so I would give you $1,000 for the extra yet. So you hit that $7,000. It probably cost us $400, you know, I mean, we're doing it, you know.
Yeah, you're terrible.
Yeah.
Well, if the city doesn't have to spend $6,000 or $7,000 to do it. You pay to do it yourself, and so that gets in there, and the city approves it.
Yeah.
The city hasn't spent any money virtually.
No, never got anything like that.
New horse again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a new horse.
Well, I'm not worried.
Well, you'd sell it out anyway.
It's his property. It's gonna. Yeah. He wants it to work.
Yeah, you're selling out anyway to somebody.
It's our responsibility.
That's where we have to have him check.
So that's what's got to
happen. Well, he knows that. You know, and that's approved, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going
to. I guess as long as.
Action and everything else has got to be there.
As long as we meet engineer specs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And if, like you said, if he comes in, it's.
Yeah, and your man here will inspect the pipe, I'm sure, when we put it in, and the compaction.
Yeah. So then, basically. Turn over 8,000 to the city, you know, and I can help to the 7. Want a 7 and then a difference?
Yeah, whatever the difference. You know, let's say, you know, you want 7 there, and we're going to, let's say, $6,000 to put it in.
Just don't use gold line pipe.
Pardon?
Don't use gold line pipe, you know, for that.
Yeah. Well, actually, don't you run another water line in there that put 3 in, 1 3 1 and 2 put a meter on?
Oh. So, are we looking for a motion to kind of go along with this plan, or do we have a little rubber on this one here? You know, get a word.
Do we have to check and see even if we can do it before we...
That was going to be my suggestion, just to run it by our engineer, and then we can come forward after the council meeting and the public hearing, and then come to an agreement on the WAC side.
Yeah, okay.
Just so we can cover all bases.
It's nothing that we haven't done, and...
Yeah, I don't see a problem. We, just like as if we hired him to do it.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement here that we want to work together and get stuff on that lot. Which is really, like you said earlier, I don't really see any residential lots. You know, I don't see any properties going on here as residential.
Yeah, I don't either. And like I say, it's a good rental lot. That's what they all should be that on it.
Town hall duplex, their concept was it as well.
So, well,
all right.
It was relatively painless.
Yeah.
Get that other lot bought so you can do the same thing as long as you got that backhoe there.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a big guy over there anyway, so.
There you go.
Just another day's work.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, thanks,
Tom. Thanks, Tom. Yeah.
See you later.
Okay.
We'll jump ahead a little bit. Commissioner Rishi is here, and he's going to be. I don't know if you're going to meet up on this.
Sure. Yeah.
Bring it on.
Well, that is going to do the nice job.
I'm that smart. You watch the chair.
Good evening, Mayor and council members and staff. Thank you for letting us come and visit with you today.
You're welcome.
You know why we're here. We're going to talk a little bit about the Metropolitan Governance Reform Principles. We're calling that. Around most of the cities throughout the county. We were in Norwood last night, and we had worked on a motion in Victoria last night, both of those. So, passed the resolution, and have kind of joined forces with us. So, Dave's got a bit of a presentation, and I'll let him go through that, and we'll try to field questions as we go. If that's all right. If you have a question anytime, please let us know.
You know.
Thanks for the invite, and a pleasure to meet everybody. I'm Dave Dempsey, the county administrator. This issue will be a piece of cake compared to that water.
Wow, huh?
Yeah, this won't be easy.
Small,
but it is complex. So I want to give you a little bit of a handle on it. So I do that with just a brief PowerPoint. Jeremy, if you could flip to the next slide, just to give you, and the next one. A little bit of an idea of what's been going on here. Actually, this issue goes way back to 1967. I'm not sure how familiar you folks are with the Metropolitan Council, but it was created by the legislature way back then, and it hasn't been without its controversy since its inception. Now, the idea was that it was a regional planning agency, and that certainly isn't something that, in terms of what we're proposing in the resolution, that's not something we're concerned about. We think that's a good idea. However, you know, there are some pretty significant concerns that we're labeling a local government coalition. So it's not only counties and cities that we're trying to get together with and then go to the capital together. This local government coalition has been working on this issue a lot more recently because of a number of things. And I'll go through a couple of those. But one of the issues is the scope of the council in the terms of the kinds of things that they're getting into that they weren't originally intended on getting into, and some of them are even directed by the legislature. So it's this agency that's sort of getting into various elements of local government business that this group feels maybe they shouldn't be involved in, especially with the way they're governed right now. Mm-hmm. And that's the third bullet point. That's really the bigger one, is that the appointees of the Met Council itself, and there's 17 of them, if you the chair of the Met Council, his name's Adam Dunick, he just recently appointed by the governor, but they're all all appointed by the governor, so they're all accountable to one individual, and that is sort of the pinnacle, the sort of key piece of the concern that we want to talk to you about tonight, and that's that disconnection in terms of the local government groups.
And wasn't Mondale's kid something to do with the Metropolitan Council, too? Was he chairman or something?
Ted used to be.
Yeah, okay.
That's a couple of chair people ago. The one before Dunnick was Susan Haig. You might remember her. She ran the Habitat for Humanity also. Mm-hmm. But all of them, the key point is all of them, from the chair to the rest of the council members, they're all appointed by one individual, the governor. And whether it's Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. It's the governor's power to appoint and to remove. So, Jeremy, if you could flip to the next one, Jeremy. So this coalition is what we're calling it because we really feel it's more than a county issue, it's more than a city issue, and we really feel to be successful we need to join together and go to the Capitol with a unified voice saying, here's our general concerns about what's going on with metropolitan governance. The coalition has been working on what you see in front of you in terms of the resolution and working on sort of shared interests, laying out pretty high-level principles, and admittedly there's a lot of details that need to go into an ultimate bill is what it would be. But the group really tried to stay high-level because you really can get quickly tangled up and mired into the details. But we'd like, the strategy is to go to the legislators with the higher-level game plan and then work with our legislators to sort of craft the rest of it. Now, having said that, admittedly, this stands little chance, quite frankly. This year, certainly, with a short session, there's been a lot of shots taken at Met Council over the years and very little significant change. But what we're trying to do is get ready when the timing is right. Maybe when Dayton leaves office or maybe with the governor change, maybe they'll have a different viewpoint. But we're pretty realistic about that. But the idea is to get going and to, reach agreement with as many as we can to, the power numbers really at the Capitol, of course. So we worked together to develop these. If you flip, I only have a few slides here, not too many. So why would we reform? Really, it's that key piece that non-elected individuals are on that council, and I don't know if I even pointed that out, that those appointees are not elected individuals. So they're not council members, they're not county board members. Those individuals have the power to levy, so there's a little bit of a taxation without representation issue, if you will. The council makes decisions impacting all of us, and I'm sure you've seen some across this room, and that's pretty significant in terms of their scope and the kind of money that flows through that agency. Interestingly, that third bullet point, every other planning organization in the country, and in Minnesota, by the way, Duluth and St. Cloud and some others have these planning entities, regional planning entities. Every other one, I think there's 420 so. Without exception, every other one has elected officials on their councils. So this is a unique circumstance, which I think to some degree tells you something, that this group was grandfathered in a long time ago, and it's to this day has remained the same. And finally, the legislative auditor, that's an independent office, that's not the state auditor. The legislative auditor a while back recommended that there were elected officials assigned to the council. You can flip through, and this is really the key slide that summarizes what's in the resolution that we're asking you to approve. And again, number one, the appointed elected officials, and the way we're couching it is that we'd like to see the majority of the council members be appointed elected officials. So if there were, 20 of them, there'd be 11, you'd have to be on them. If there are 21 of them, there'd be 12 elected officials that were appointed elected officials, and make sure you separate that. We're not advocating we hold an election to have these individuals appointed to the council. There will be elected officials like you or Commissioner Ishii that would be ultimately appointed through a process locally. So we'd have to set up some sort of a system of appointing our own elected officials to the council. That's items 2 and 3. So we'd have cities controlling their own appointments, so Carver County cities and others in the metropolitan area, and counties controlling ours. The third one, or the fourth bullet point, staggered terms. The council used to be appointed by the governor, and they used to have staggered terms, which means that a portion of them could not be removed, at least for a few years. So you, you know, have a little bit of protection. That's not the case right now. They don't have staggered terms. So we're advocating that we go back to that to remove a little bit of the political power that the governor currently has. And then item five, representation from every metropolitan county government, of course, with seven metropolitan counties, and then voting based on population. So, you know, again, I mentioned that there's sort of the devil in the details. That would have to be figured out. We'd have to figure out how many reps does Carver get, how many county reps, how many city reps. And certainly we're trying to be fair here and advocating those appointments are made based upon how many people you have within your county. So kind of in Ramsey, et cetera, we're getting more than Carver. But again, a high-level principle that appointments would be based on population. So we're asking you, of course, to join us. And by the way, every Carver County city has now adopted the resolution, with the exception of Waconia and Carver. I don't think they're going to consider it. They've been talking about it. It doesn't sound like they're going to take it up. We're still asking them to. We'll see what happens. Victoria voted on it last night and they approved it. So we have, if you approve it, it'd be 9 out of 11. Yeah.
Now, this is how many counties involved? The ones that are in the metropolitan area? Are they all following the same presentation?
No, that has a long story behind it, too. You know, seven counties, which is the metropolitan governance area. Originally, and this goes back several years, and some of this relates to their more recent efforts on, it's called Thrive 2040, and their transportation policy plan in particular that sort of describes what the priorities are, which means where does the funding go? When that transportation policy plan came out, Carver County had zero roads identified in that plan. And that really, you know, stirred the pot to some degree and got everybody, well, wound up again. You know, again, this has been controversial since was, you know, the 60s. We had Hannafin and Ramsey in the room, and they, in effect, said, you know, we kind of like the way it is. I mean, really, is what they said, you know. So they left the group. Along the way, Washington County was marching with us. They also left the group. I think a big part of that was they have a transit line that they're waiting for funding on, and that's a lot of, most of it's Met Council, most of the Met Council. Well, you know, to me, it maybe is a symptom of a problem when local elected officials sort of back away from, you know, these high-level principles because of the fear of getting shortchanged. And so we're trying to stay away from, geez, this is all about money. You know, certainly it does matter in terms of money, but it's mostly about governance and having elected officials represent our area and others in the metropolitan area. So that's what we're asking you. I don't know, Jim, if you have any other comments, but we stand for questions.
Yeah, we're happy to take questions, of course, and the analogy I used last night in the city of Norwood was the governor grew up in Minneapolis, and his family built a thriving business in Minneapolis. And his heart is in Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. And the way it's set up right now, if you look what's happening with the council dollars, the bulk of them are going to the border area, the Twin Cities. I told last night about the governor, and that same that council was in place, I suspect Carver County would do very well. Mm-hmm. And that maybe is part of the problem. We think that if we get some elected officials in there, and Dave's very honest and candid, we all know how legislation works. Many times it takes years to get to where you want to go. But we're hoping for some baby steps here, and at least start bending some ears and getting some people. And when you've got a bigger coalition like this, our representatives are definitely taking notice.
Oh, they should.
They should, you're exactly right. But we're looking forward to moving it forward and seeing where it goes, of course, and it's a short session in the legislature, so we'll see if there'll be very much discussion on it or not. We can't predict that, but I think there's a problem there, and we think that maybe if another of us get together and make a little bit of noise, at the very least, we'll maybe see a little bit of help.
Well, I think that's right, and the thing, Commissioner, is that, you know, they should probably think about renaming it, because it's not really truly metropolitan. You know, it's the big guys. And so I think anything that we can do as a smaller city, counties and smaller cities in those surrounding counties that are the truly the metropolitan area, I think we should band together because, you know, there's strength in numbers. I agree with what the concept is.
Can you explain a little bit more about your appointment by population? Ramsey County and Hennepin County dwarf this county.
Right.
I mean, if they're going to stick all their people in there and we're going to get one from Carver County, what good is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
what
I don't quite,
now?
You know, I don't quite exactly get that. I mean, I think it should be more, as the Senate is, two from each place or three from each place versus as the House of Representatives goes by population, as everyone well knows.
Right.
And like I said, I don't really, I mean, I like your ideas here. But again, that kind of the fact of the matter, this sounds like it's a Gestapo, if you know what I mean. I mean, that's a political entity that's autonomous, that's only answerable to one person. That's kind of, I mean, I know that's kind of an extreme comparison there. However,
it's true.
I don't, like I said, I don't really like the idea of doing it by population. Like I said, because those two major metropolitan counties, as they are right now, they totally destroy all the rest of us that are on the outlying areas here. So, you know, that needs to be a little, I think your idea about what the idea of the appointee should be a little refined a little bit. However, I do like the idea of changing it, yes.
Right. A little bit of background on that. I mentioned there's a working group that crafted this proposal. They started out there. They started out saying, you know, let's dive into the numbers and figure out how do we divide up the council and how many does each get. And they quickly became bogged down, and it was pretty apparent they were going to have, that group was going to have trouble reaching consensus. So I think there's a pretty big battle yet, quite frankly, to be fought underneath these principles. And that's one of, you know, how exactly do you divide it up? And I, you know, this is going to be changed. I mean, the legislature is going to, you know, take the sausage you make, who knows what out of it, right? So, but I do think that the population concept is a good one. I mean, that's representative democracy, you know, in terms of a high level principle to say that somehow we want to divide up on a population basis. And you notice, though, that we did say every county gets one. So Carver gets one at least, certainly. You know, how many cities do we get? Again, yet to be fought. But that's something that we'd be interested in continuing to pressure our legislators to get us a fair shake.
But really, trying to set the groundwork right now, right?
Right.
And is Carver County really the main ones that are backing this push, or do you have?
No. Well, us. No. We're a small dog in the fight. We have a bone in it, so we want to, you know, stick with it. But, you know, relatively. Yeah, we're a small player compared to Hennepin, Ramsey, or even Dakota.
Right, but has anybody else discussed this or piggybacked on in Carver County about these changes?
Yeah, again, this coalition is, so it's all the Ring counties minus Washington, so it's Anoka, Dakota, and Scott, and us. So it's really four out of the seven that have stuck together here.
There's a big push there.
And then I didn't count them up. I just sent our legislators a note on, you know, beyond our cities who jumped out. I think there's about a dozen other cities in the metro. And so all others are working on gathering their city support. Scott has several already that have passed resolutions. We're also going to Hennepin County and Ramsey, because some of those cities there aren't with their counties. They're perhaps suburban cities that don't feel like they're being treated fairly with this government structure either.
And I think they're probably disenchanted with some of the stuff that's going on right in their own backyard, even though they're in Ramsey or Hennepin County.
Right.
And I would think that they would want to come on board.
The two cities from Carver County that didn't support you, did they give any reasons why? Or did they just not?
No,
or did
with
they just
Carver,
vote
I'm not 100% sure. I haven't got the story. I'm still working on that. I don't know if you've heard
just been taken up. I don't know why.
Waconia, though, the Metro Cities Group, are you guys a member of Metro Cities? Maybe not. But there's a professional association called Metro Cities that has a position that doesn't exactly align with this. And we brought them to the table to talk about it. We wanted to have them join us because there's significant power in their numbers. They have, I don't know, 100 plus cities as part of their association. But you know, that's another bureaucracy in itself, trying to get them to agree to what we're doing. Sue Arntz, our administrator, was past president of that group. So I think, you know, Sue maybe she has a different perspective. We were invited to their council meeting when they discussed it, so I'm a little short on exactly why they didn't adopt it. But I think, you know, there are some concerns from some of the cities by, for example, you know, appointing elected officials. The Metro Cities Group is saying, well, this is a pretty significant job that council members may not have time for. They also have said the offices may be incompatible, and by that they mean a council member represents only one city. How can they represent the rest of the area, the county, et cetera? But you know, my counter to that is, you know, there's every other planning organization does it that way. I mean, how can it not work? I don't understand how that really holds a lot of water. But I think whatever you do here, it's not going to be perfect. You know, democracy certainly isn't perfect, and there will be concerns with appointing elected officials with their viewpoints and, you know, whatever they may want to get done. But again, the high principle, again, is that at least those individuals have been elected as representatives of the citizenry. And I think to some degree, you know, if you think about, well, how would one of the cities here be appointed? Well, be by other appointees. So I think that so the cream will rise to the top in terms of somebody that group feels will represent us well. So I think there's, you know, there's some sort of mechanisms in place that will be helpful ultimately to get a better council, and really that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want to support something like this. Sitting in the, you know, the Carver County leaders meetings that I have in the past, and the Southwest Transit Authority meetings as well, I'm kind of shocked that Carver didn't sign on to the way they badger our Met Council rep at both of those meetings from time to time, and that. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't. I'll move that we pass resolution 2016-03 for the support of the reform of the Met Council.
Second. I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to support the resolution number 2016-03. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And we'll keep in touch.
I'll get that over to you tomorrow, Dave.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And thanks for the invite again.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for coming on.
Stop by again, you know.
I will.
You know where you live.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We'll go to Cole Stanley.
You got the light, Steve?
Why, are you falling asleep over there or what?
It's too dark, man. I live in the light.
All right, so the motion here and set the boundaries for what we want to do for benefits that we involved in some of the discussion. We've had in the past is if we lived within city limits, what we would charge our waiting fees. The other concept would be is if we have people that come from outside city limits want to use the hall for benefit, what should that charge be set at? So that way moving forward here we don't have sit down and take it on a as they come basis. So we just kind of wanted to bring that up tonight so we can kind of iron that out.
Well, that would be good too if they call.
Yeah,
we've got an answer. We are yes, they want to do it. Well, they don't. Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of hee-haw in the last benefit, and I forgot what the...
I thought it was, yeah.
Two things. Okay.
Well, I would say, you know, if we're going to rent it out for those type of events, you know, residents put it at $250 and non-residents put it at $350.
Does that cover everything? That would, like, any heat or anything, or?
I think it's a losing proposition no matter which way you go. Yeah, it's just more of a service for the benefit to give them a little bit of a break in order so they can raise a few more funds to pay off some bills.
Yeah.
And I know in the past, we have a lot of residents.
Right.
Well,
basically what we're looking at is typically, I mean, you at least want to cover your cleaning expenses. At a minimum. And what's that take, Greg? $7-$8?
Yeah. Plus you got your electricity, you know, they're setting up the day before, they're setting up. You know, sometimes they're there the whole day and they don't clean up until the next day. Well, they've got the heat cranked up in the winter and stuff too, so you've got to cover your own expenses.
What is $7-$8?
It's like at the Jet America, give it away, they charge full rent.
I think a lot of communities are going to be charged with the club.
Yeah, in Norwood, you can't rent the pavilion as a club for free. They charge you the full rent. So anytime the chamber rents out any of the pavilion or any of the other buildings, it's full. If the Lions do it in there, in town, it's full. Their place. They don't give a break for anybody. Yeah, we're pretty much the only one in the area that gives a break for our clubs.
$250 cover the cost, do you think? You know, you said 8 hours, so that's roughly what, $180 there for the cost of labor to do that.
Maybe cleaning and electricity. I mean, ain't gonna cover heat.
No.
Compared to that,
email. But I'd still like to give some type of break to the residents. I mean, they're paying taxes in your town anyway for part of that anyway.
What's the cost? What's the full cost to rent?
$600.
Split it in half and go $300 if it's a non-resident, $250 if you're a resident. There's no money you're giving a resident break yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of why I was thinking like $250 for resident and $350 for non-resident. So.
Yeah. And you're still getting a break.
Mm-hmm.
Still probably cheaper than anywhere else you're going to go.
Yeah, you get the pavilion.
Well, the pavilion, I want to say, what are they? I think it's $350 or $300 or $350 somewhere.
They don't have the space.
No.
That's all for the pavilion?
And they destroyed their bathrooms outside, so. They're gone. They've been gone for a year now, over a year now.
I think Greg's in a good position to know what it's going to cost or how much time he's going to be up there. So if he thinks he's comfortable, the standard is for outside of town and $250 for people who live in town, if that works.
I mean, Greg is paid by the city, so if the city wants to recoup for...
No, I understand that, Dick, but what I'm saying is that Greg's got a pretty good idea how much time he spends up there.
I'll make a motion that we accept the hall rental for residents at $250 and non-residents at $350.
How much, Chris?
$350.
Second.
I'll second that.
Motion is made and seconded.
Yeah.
Motion made and seconded to set the fee for $250 for residents and $350 for non-residents for the use of the hall. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Effective tonight? way city office knows they can call.
All right, nothing on the maintenance agreement yet. Just haven't heard back.
They're in such a hurry.
I guess actually we could have
on that. Go grab them.
I'm going to follow up with that because it sounds like at the end of the year they're going to want to
approve. Yeah, they're in such a hurry.
Yeah.
Well, if it's hanging out there and when the next Carver County leaders meeting comes around, I'll ask them at the meeting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'll check with the county, too. Government leader practices, I guess maybe Chris and Mr. Ogles want to just touch base on the hard drive.
Yeah. So last Tuesday, Councilman Ordemans and I drove down to the FBI facility there in Brooklyn
Center.
And that met with the special agent and got the handed over the hard drive to Councilman Odoms, and then subsequently gave it to me. We came back here and gave it to Jeremy and that, and then we went ahead and just asked Councilman Odoms to go ahead and just release the hard drive, because the idea originally was is that we were going to replace the hard drive and the thumb drive. But now I'm after correspondence from today, it sounds like that's changed on your end.
Right, I talked to my attorney, and he says it's a bad idea just turning that whole thing over, because there could be personal data that's previously onto this mine that the city has no right to. So the email that I sent to Chris today, and by the way, my email isn't working. We should get that straightened out before I leave.
I sent you an email today. Did you get it?
I can't access my email to get an email.
I sent it to your council member, he reset your password. I sent you a couple emails.
Oh,
and
no.
And he reset your password and it was working. So.
Oh, no, I haven't.
So you should be able to access it.
Okay. So anyway, that's the story, is that my attorney said do not sign that release, which I did not, and I will not. And he said that I should get my hard drive and my jump drive back. The city's had ample time to copy the data off of the files that are there, so since I should get that back. Focal problem.
Well, we will work on that, but I guess we were under the understanding that we were going to replace those items.
Yeah.
I had already purchased them items, so now I got to return them. I'm fine with that, but I can give you a jump drive back, but somebody is looking at the hard drive right now, and it might not be till the end of this week.
That's fine. Well, see, and originally that was what I wanted, and I wanted the city to take and supply me with an alternate form of media storage, which the city refused to do. So,
well,
you know, so that
we agreed to at the last meeting.
But, well, my attorney said that's a bad idea, so.
Well, you've got your attorney saying it's a bad idea, and we've got our attorney saying probably something different. I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, our attorney is not available till Monday.
Yeah, our attorney's on vacation, so if we want, we can contact her, but it's probably going to not be at the normal rate.
Wait for one. You know, there's some irony here.
Well, you know what? I heard somebody say, yes, yeah, I agree to give this stuff back. And that was the under assumption that I went on. And now all of a sudden, oh, no, this is crap. We can't do that.
Yeah, there's always something. There's always a...
What's going on? I don't know how we can give it back to you when it's ours in the first place. The city's anyway.
No, the data is yours, definitely. You can have that. I want my hard drive back and my jump drive back, the physical hardware. You can have your data. I don't want that.
And that was actually the original intent when we started this process 10 months ago, was to get the data, to get it off the hard drive, off the thumb drive, and then to return it back to Councilman Odoms. That's where we originally were started at, and that was our understanding back then, too, that within 2 weeks after making that motion and the acceptance of that motion, that we were going to have those two pieces of equipment, which we didn't get until last Tuesday. That was the agreement.
But things changed.
$40,000 worth of change.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there goes... That's all you see is this going out the window.
You've got your data back. I want my hard drives back and my jump drive back. Simple as that.
And we'll get it back to you in the time frame it takes for us to extract the data. Like we said, we thought we were going to be able to take the data off in a much different time frame because of the agreement that you had with us and giving us it and us replacing your hard drive. Now that you've changed the parameters, doesn't mean we have to comply with your time frame.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Well, I'm reasonable. Reasonable for you was 10 months.
Don't even go there.
We could lose it. We could give it to the FBI or something. You know?
We're not going to lose it. We're not going to shred it. So
well, the same scenario happened 10 months ago or whatever. There's something else.
We will get it back in a more timely fashion than you received it.
Yeah. So we'll get our information off of it. But this is a copy of the first one anyhow. So what was wrong with the first one?
I lost my hard drive.
It went bad. So to say.
Okay.
And I lost the whole crap load of data. Not only the city data, but my other stuff.
So it was some of our stuff that was on there lost from it?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming in. This whole thing stinks. I don't care. It just is. It's made a fool out of us up here, the citizens. I don't care. This is just bad. And if somebody can't figure out where the money is spent, we're just not throwing it away. It's for the protection of the city employees. Somebody's got to wake up. Last meeting we had, I got here on a Tuesday, I got home on a Wednesday, for goodness sakes. Never has that ever happened. And we still got, we got the hard drive.
We got the hard drive.
You got a copy of the hard drive.
Pardon?
You got a copy of the hard drive.
Yeah. We don't miss it.
Definitely not worth spending another $40,000 on not getting anything.
No, I mean, just the faucet has to be turned on.
End game. Yeah. I've said it for long. End games. No more games. Just conduct city business. I mean, it's just, that's it.
Well, you do what you got to do with our attorney, and I guess we can keep the council informed, can you not, through the attorney?
Yep.
You know, that this is one of these.
No, I mean, there's no, everything's out in the open now going forward, just because there's no investigation, there's no personal, there's no employee data practices concerns really going forward now, that we would have to have any additional closed meetings, at least not yet anyway.
Unless someone would be discovered on that measure, that someone would be right. If there's any additional information that we haven't already discussed, hashed out, put to bed, then, if there's new allegations or something on here, then at that time they would have to be addressed so that way they can address properly and put to bed.
Well, I guess that's the gist of it for tonight, all right?
No, I mean that was the update.
Okay.
We have it back. We pass it on for what we thought was going to be the just looking at phase, but now it looks like we're just going to have to do the extraction phase a little bit quicker.
Reasonable time. Anything else on your hold?
No.
Move on to Mr. Schultz.
You okay? He's used to moving around.
proceed with the city shop repairs. I know we got to get bids on it, and you know, I guess I don't know what they're going to find once they tear the sheetrock out. So, do I try and get like a bid for just replacing the sheetrock and treating the mold on the studs, or suggested to me that maybe just replace the studs and all, because they're probably from the water, they're probably part rotten and stuff like that. I don't really know how to even go about the bid process on that.
I guess what I would say would be ask them what a worst case scenario would be with replacing all the sheetrock, all the studs, everything, anything that you think would be damaged by mold and or rotting or anything like that. Do it both ways. Say, how much would it be this way if it's just a sheetrock, and if we can clean off the studs, or worst case scenario where everything has to be replaced. That's about the only thing you can do, because you don't know, like you said, until they actually tear it apart.
Yeah.
Can we tear some of the sheetrock off and look give us a little idea, or even somebody who's going to come and maybe give us a price?
Well, they'll have to when they give us a bid to tear it off. Anyway, did you ever get in touch
with them? I never got an answer.
That would be the other question. If there's any changes we want to make, now is the time to do them.
Yeah. I'll find that out shortly.
Jeremy, are we talking about doing the whole basement, where that whole bar is and everything, or just the side where Greg is?
Where Greg is.
Well, what's the shape on the other side?
I mean, we have
the bar is too.
We'll have to look at the walls and the bar too.
Oh yeah. That for where.
Because if it's if they're not going to use it, it'll be gone.
That's what I thought.
We'll have to address that whole side of the building.
Yeah.
But I mean,
because we had water running down the walls. Some paneling off there too, and look at them areas.
But if we take that whole basement right down to the cement and rip everything out, all the wood and the stuff that's in there, on the side where that old bar is, and I haven't been down there for a while, but that's basically just not even used, right?
Yeah.
So do we have to panel it, insulate it, and put up studs and whatnot?
Well, at least for the offices.
I'm talking on the other side, Dick.
No.
Yeah, so I mean, so if we take and rip everything down to the cement walls, and then, you know, if we have to build an office for Greg, you know, do that.
Right.
And I don't know if that bar is going to, or that hunting and fishing.
I think I have to go to one of the meetings. It seems. Yeah. Which I'll find.
Bar, I'm confused.
The old one.
Yeah.
The
west side.
The old one downstairs. Yeah, that's
what.
No, I'm talking on the west side of the building. The basement, yeah.
The basement on the northwest side where the old
bowling alley
the old
side.
Tap is, and yeah. The bowling alley's on the corner.
Yeah. Yes.
But I mean, the whole thing has to eventually be done, right? Or not?
I'm thinking the whole basement.
Yeah.
But, you know, to eliminate the sportsman's club.
The shop side you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about the other basement. The bowling alley side.
I'm not talking about that.
Is there mold over on the other side, though?
I haven't seen anything.
It smells musty in the bowling area, alley area, but you know, at the pancake brunch in January, it's not bad. I mean, the exhaust fan over should probably be replaced because that is crap. But other than that, I don't think it's all that mildewy or moldy. Not that I can. Other, like,
I didn't recall seeing.
It smells musty in the bowling alley, but that's about it. That's because
there's a lot of moisture.
That bowling alley—that's just going to sell us cold stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's still Harriet's cigarette butts in the ashtrays down there from how many years ago?
I mean, I would say, you know, do maybe two work orders: one where we do a total restoration of that place down there. I mean, I got to think from a standpoint of just wanting to tear the whole thing out and redoing it all would be easier than having to cut, paste all the way along. In that, and plus, then we can redesign the area that makes it.
You can do it feasible for yourself.
Yeah, you know, and if we're going to have
build an office here, or build something there for whoever.
Well, what I would suggest too is for that top room that be more too.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it right, and let's get it done so it's more usable, and it's another group. Maybe it even gets to a point, you know, it might be usable for some type of gatherings for other than just the hunt and fish club. I mean, there might be other reasons people would want to use that small of a meeting space in that.
I myself would like to take the hunt and fish club outside of there. I wouldn't need that.
Right.
There's still like tables and chairs down there they can set up and hold a meeting in there rather than spend the money to redo it.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do.
It's a waste of space as far as I'm concerned for once a month on a PG for.
Yeah, I can't see them throw any money towards that.
No,
I mean,
like I said, and I'm sure with the water that was standing down there, I'm sure that when that's torn out, that's going to be all black too. So, like I said, I think if that gets torn out
and gone.
Yeah, because I mean, like I said, there's tables and chairs down there. They can meet in the open. They don't have to be in a little room.
Right.
A refrigerator or whatever they got.
I mean, that's what the fire department did years ago. We just met down there. And
I
like Chris's idea of just basically ripping everything out and starting from scratch. I think that's, you know, then you know what you're going to have when you end up. Otherwise, if you got to take and replace walls or, you know, only cut a half a wall off or whatever. I think you just go to wall and rip everything out and throw it away and start all over.
A lot of it is just plainly cement block anyway, down there.
Yeah, the outside walls are cement block.
And once you got all that stuff on.
Like you said, but once you tear that sheetrock off, that water will, it's going to be, and it's gotten wet down there since the 60s. I would be willing to bet you could, it's going to be soft, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like he said, it's probably better off to just tear it off.
Well, and plus you got, which me and Steve have talked about a little bit, too, you probably got non-treated wood. I mean, we're hoping never to have water down there again, but
they didn't have treated wood back when that was built. So
yeah, that's not treated wood.
Well, even on the bottom, I would bet a lot on that bottom, like being rotten on that.
Yeah. So why don't we just total recon, get people to let you know what it's going to cost to tear it out.
If you want, Greg, you're the one that has to work down there. If you want to structure how you want your office and how you want the pop, I don't think the council or myself, unless somebody has any objections to what design you want.
Is there any furniture expenses?
TV
directors.
Well, that's what I'm working on.
That would be the one thing we'd need to define yet.
But even that, I don't think it's the city's obligation to put something like that in.
Right.
No, why?
They just use it because it was there.
Yeah.
I don't think we should put it back there because I know that they are talking to them. They're looking at, they have been for years, but the lady won't come up on her price, but they're looking at buying the Roy Friedenthal place out there, and they would like to make that a clubhouse and have trap shooting and everything else. They got plans for that land if they could come up with a price on her, basically, that she would come to the point where she would sell it. At that point, they would leave there anyway. So, like I said, I guess...
What was it then? Fire department office way back when it was...
No, it was basically just a watering hole.
Yeah, that's why the bar's in there. That's kind of the... Once was the FD, yeah.
There, so... I just wondering if them were...
Steven, you're in the construction business. Do you think that makes sense, just to rip everything off the walls and start all over?
Yep. That's what I've been talking with. Greg and Jeremy both. But I've been talking with both of them about, once you start digging into it, you're going to find that mold is more than 4 feet up because that's been getting wet down there since 1968. Your mold is going to be up in the sheetrock, and the sheetrock will be mushy just because of all the water that's gotten soaked up in it over the years. The bottom plates aren't treated. Once you start working into it, you'll start getting a building inspector involved. It's going to have to be treated. You're definitely better off. It'll actually cost you less tear everything out than to try and patch in like
to the piece it in.
And go over it like right up to the ceiling and rip everything out. And then you got access to the walls, you can disinfect them or whatever.
And the thing I was thinking about the other day, I don't remember, is there in the main room in there, is there a suspended ceiling in that part or is there not? I don't think so. That's sheetrock right up at the top, isn't it?
That's sheetrock.
Okay. So then that should not be a big deal.
Well, Steve says that's what should be done. That's good enough for me.
And that's your best.
That'll probably be the best thing where you know it's all gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Best bet with the pop room as well to kind of change things around of what's going to work for today's system. And even Coke might want to come in and put in your bags instead of tanks.
But those stairs, would they have to be replaced?
I wouldn't mess with the stairs.
I was going to say that's going to be a disaster.
Once you dig into a stairway, it has to all come up to current code.
Yeah, to ADA.
You don't touch it then.
You don't
want to get into that.
I don't think.
Put
a couple of new boards and call it a day.
Yeah.
Do not want to get into ADA requirements.
I'm sure that's
a whole other ballgame.
That entire stairway would not meet.
Yeah.
Grandfathered in, kind of?
Yeah, for now. But once you
want to
make any alteration, then you got to bring it up to code.
Well, you know what?
I would like to, at the same time, in the upstairs, I have where the two buildings meet, the old part of the hall and the new part of the hall, that was always leaking there, and that ran behind the paneling that's there, and that paneling was worked out. I've since put bigger. I made it look better, but I think that should also be torn out.
I agree.
See what's behind there.
Yeah, and then I think also on the other side too, where we had the water marks and any bulging of the paneling on the outside wall.
You might have part A, B, and C here. What we have to do.
That was one thing I was going to bring up at some point in time. Not the bulginess of the panel was there, but is there any reason why we would want to keep that section of the wall like it is and not maybe take that whole section out and just open up the whole area?
Is it a bearing wall?
Well, I'm sure it is, but I mean, you wouldn't remove the beam that's going in there. Just take that paneling that's there.
You'd still probably have to put an engineered beam in there.
Well, you're talking about the sections between the sliding doors?
Yeah.
Those, I would say don't mess with it.
Okay.
Once you start tearing into that, you're going to have an engineer drop a plan as to the roof load of the whole building.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's steel beams coming in there.
And you got to make sure.
$9,000 just on a plan to figure out what to do.
You got
to
make sure whatever the load is, you may have to add another beam, a steel beam.
Yeah, I was just thinking to make it look more open.
I know, it would be nice, but.
It would be nice to open it up when you're opening up the can of worms when you get into that.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to be messing with very molds.
Well, you know what kind of to go with. And?
So do we at this point want to do it as removing that office in?
I'll find out in a day or so here and I'll let Greg know.
You're going to do this in two or three different parcels, the basement and then upstairs, what Greg was just talking about? See if we got any money for any of this? Or
well, right now I want to address the shop, and then we'll have them look at the other parts, and then we'll deal with them in phase two. I think really phase one now is to
finish what we started.
To exterminate any mold that's exposed.
Okay. Anything else? When do we start approving if we're going to have Mel back again?
I'd probably say next meeting. We probably want to look at that. What the weather is now, you know, we probably want to look at that. Yeah.
Grass is turning green.
Yeah. So we put that on the to do. And same way with this kind of being in April and March here, the roll off, people are going to start.
People are making these already.
Yeah.
From the dumpster.
It's too early.
The what, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know it is, but they're doing it.
Are they just dumping them down there?
Disrupting
Exactly.
They dumped them in the dumpster by the hall. You got the dumpster by the hall, and I drive around and pick up garbage on the streets, and then I threw it in there the other day, and I noticed there were a bunch of bags of leaves and stuff that somebody was throwing in there. Got the box of leaves. So yeah, we'll maybe call them there, dumpster down there, because people will be noticed.
And then that goes along with street sweeping, get on the list.
Yeah, I might wait a little bit with street sweeping.
Yeah, I know, but
just to try and let the people clean up the yard a little bit, so that the leaves don't blow back in the gutters.
Well, I was going to take the snowblower off the tractor, but I'm not going to either.
Let me know when you do that so I keep mine out. Because I'm
talking to people today and they say, you know, you've had big storms in April already.
We're not out of the woods yet.
I'll call and I'll get on the list. It's a little easier now because Nord Young America doesn't use him anymore, so he's got a little more time freed up, but I guess I'm going to wait a little bit with that until.
Is he the one that paints the yellow, the curbs?
Yep.
We should.
Yeah, we could use it.
We should get that done too. And knock on wood, I'm kind of counting we didn't spend a lot of money on snow removal, that maybe we can get the curbs done and.
I can look at that.
You know, get some of that. So we got mail, the roll off, painted curbs, and street sweeping. Yeah, that's all my questions for you.
Did we get the flag lowered out here?
That flag needs fixing. It will not move. It will not budge.
Which one?
Really?
Didn't we get that fixed?
We did once before.
A couple years ago when it broke and then said there was something with the braking system. Well, I had two hands. All I could do to crank it back.
I told Greg to leave it before we have another incident. So
I was waiting for that big weight to come out and hit me again. Like I said, I had two hands and I could leave it at this.
Really?
So I don't know if that braking system in there needs to be replaced, but He puts his truck away for the winter.
Yeah.
So as soon as he gets it out, then come in. Like I said, if they need to replace that braking system, whatever he did last time, it worked okay. But it doesn't. Like I said, I don't like it. Just get it down, and then I just told Jeremy. I said next time it comes down, it ain't gonna go back up because right. It's just getting worse and worse. I thought it was like the analog actually.
I have to say it looks much better by Milky's apartment.
Yeah.
It must have hauled out a couple of the vehicles. And
yeah. Yeah, we checked it yesterday.
The garbage can even fist up against the shed.
Yeah.
I've been trying to, I've been replacing old meters in town. The meters, some of them are probably 30, 40 years old, according to Kurt. He said back when the meters were new, at best, they were 60% efficient. So I've been trying to, some of these canes that, like that building there, I got to go down in the basement, and there's, you know, there's garbage all over in the basement, and there's water pours in whenever it rains in there, and standing water, and you got the wood in the back corner, and it's pretty dimly lit and stuff. I've put a few of our own light bulbs in there so I could see. Well, I replaced the meter, and, been fighting with, I want to try and mount a radio read on the outside, but one thing I found with the radio reads, you can only run so much wire, that's a magnetic read, and after so much wire, it won't read. So I ran a wire, basically from one end of the building to the other, so I was going to try and come out of that little side door where the trees always go, because the block walls are heavy thick on that thing, and it didn't work. I thought, well, maybe somewhere along the line the wire was broke. So I cut 10 feet and tried it, cut 10 feet and tried it. That didn't work. And so I ran a new wire. Still nothing right now. I got one run about 3/4 of the way, and it's more on a pole, so I don't got to go all the way back. But maybe that's the first candidate for the radio read when we get them. Because that was a nasty
one. Yeah.
Speaking of that, while Greg's here, just touch base on that. Because I got an estimate in there for BDS utility billing program. We had a little bit of an issue with that, getting some errors. And I haven't really paid for the customer support because it's $800 a year. Probably haven't had it for about 8 years. So the way I look at it, it's a $6,400 savings. I've typically been able to resolve most of the issues or work around them. This one we haven't. I think we've managed to get it where it's working. We can work around it a little bit. But that's something, too, I think we want to consider. I mean, now we should probably be looking into what we want to do for meters and what type of system, which then, too, to make sure, see what they're compatible with programs. Me and Tamara have also looked at, you know, or discussed even possibly changing systems. I mean, this BDS, I've had it a long time. It's not very user-friendly. But that's something I think we should look at, and maybe I'll set something up where me and Greg can meet with a couple people, the salesmen with the meters, and look at possibly what type of meter we want to go with. And then slowly, just each year, start changing them out. Because I think, you know, when we're talking to Kurt and Greg and looking, we're trying to start monitoring some of these accounts too now to see if once we put these new meters in, if you know, we're getting a change in usage. Because I really have to believe we've looked at all aspects. I don't know anything else to blame it on other than meters right now is what our discrepancy is for versus water pumped. So,
well, like Kurt said, I mean, half the city is still the old ones, the old number reads,
30 years old at least.
He said that thing was only rated at 60. Efficient back when they came
up. We're losing money.
Other ones that were changing on the meters higher, but so yeah, it would be kind of interesting to see now some of these really old ones that changed out. If the bills start going up, right?
Yeah.
We could be losing a lot.
Yeah. So
check into it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we're going to go into the radio reads, I would just assume when I'm replacing them, replace them with that so I don't have to go back into the house
twice
and do it all a second time, because 9 times out of 10 you got to stand on your head in the corner behind the water softener and the dryer just to get at the things. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be, regardless of when we do it, it's going to be a big job because I would be willing to bet that at least 50% of the water shutoffs in the house aren't going to work. There's, right now I'm running about 30% on curb stops. So that might be something at the time that we'd have to look at, possibly also buying a freeze machine or something too. Mm-hmm. And you can borrow one, but you can only do so many, and then you got to get it serviced. And, you know, I don't know. I know I've done, several people in town have been changing out, like when I had a water main leak right in front of the hall here this last week, and the greenhouse across from the hall, he had said that Dennis tried to shut his water off for him several years ago and the curb stop didn't work, but he's got some major plumbing issues in that house. So I told him that the water was going to be shut off, and he was tickled pink because he took another day off of work and had a new shut off and all the plumbing stuff he needed. So while I had the water shut off, he put a new shut off in his house. So
that was good.
Yeah, so that worked out good for him too.
I guess we still should do our drive about before I have to go back to work.
Yeah. It's spring, people are going to clean up their yards.
Well, some forgot about last spring. It's accumulated. Anything else for Greg?
Well, the other thing I got, because I was going to bring up, if the city had any objection to, for employees at least purchasing new shirts. Me, my shirt has ink stains on it.
I don't even know if you've got anything, huh?
Yeah.
Get Schulte a hoodie. It says Hamburg on it.
I don't know what council's thoughts are, but if I was to do it, I'd want, you know, council approval.
Well, I guess come up with some kind of a proposal of what and who needs and we'll go from there.
All right.
So we got an idea.
We'll do.
Are you talking shirts like this, Jeremy?
Yeah. I mean, it's just nice for when we go places or do, you know, like anytime I go to a meeting, you see that now every city's got their own attire.
But, and how much are these?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the prices. Just,
I think, you know, they're $100 or...
If they come back with a proposal, and then we know.
So just looking forward to get to go ahead, that's all.
Yeah, go check it out if you want.
All right.
Thanks for that. Right. Anything else?
All right.
Jeremy.
Just the audit here, where I'm just going to... Next week, probably be going through the draft, so they'll be coming through to the April 12th meeting. So that will wrap up another financial audit. Then the only other thing I got is the NY area guide, if we wanted to do something in the area guide again. Copy of last year's ad is in there. The agenda.
We budgeted for it, don't we?
Yeah, I usually have it in there. Mm-hmm. I do it under the hall.
I'll move that we.
We've normally done a quarter page. We've done a half the full.
Do a quarter page ad in the North Andover area. Right?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to put a quarter page ad in the NYA area guide. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Let's see. Utility billing program. You kind of touched on that, right?
Yeah, touched on that. That's all I got.
Anything for Jeremy? Council?
Oh, Jeremy, just let you know.
Yeah.
I'll probably have the stuff for the Lions bid, and also also the packets for the survey on Monday for you, just to have a copy. Or
okay.
I'll send you an email on it. So
okay.
So
sounds good.
That's April 23rd for the kids.
Okay, we'll move on to the added claims for February, which looks like totals $2,549.90.
It's just the one edge payment, 410.12, and checks number 17830 and 17831.
So moved.
Well, I missed a question.
Yes.
17820, I missed it from last time. What is that for, mileage or?
That was a, that was for a special meeting. For Mr. Odom's on 12/11/15.
Okay. Anything else that we look for?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the additional edge payment and checks number, sorry, or last two, 830 and 831, for a total of $2,549.90. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll go on to the March claims.
I'll move to approve the four ATCH payments, check numbers 17832 to 17872 for a total of $47,510.86.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the four ATCH payments and check number 17832 to 17872 for a total of $47,510.86. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I ask a question yet? 17840, how much time for, is this for the year so far, or?
Yes.
$8,322.50.
They bill us quarterly, is that it?
Monthly.
Monthly?
Mm-hmm. Amazing. All right, we'll move on to City Council reports. Councilman Odoms.
Jeremy, on the 29th of February, I dropped my check for $92.39 in the drop box out here.
Yep, and there was a glitch in the billing program, so we resent out the billings today. There was about 100 customers that it didn't post their payments, so we made the corrections and we took off the late fees. So you'll have a, you should have a new bill in tomorrow. So you can disregard that bill.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's it.
Bob?
Nothing from me.
Chris?
A couple of things here. First, it was discussed at last night's Lions meeting about getting the blessing from the city and maybe advice and where maybe some flower pots could be put. I know I did talk with Schulze before the meeting as we were talking about the trees that will be put in the park, but just if anybody has any ideas where they would like to see maybe some flower pots put around town.
What even about maybe the hall, beautify the hall?
That's what
a
we talked about.
How many were you thinking?
Well, I think we have about $1,300 budget for trees and flower pots. So it really, yeah, it depends on obviously how much we get the trees and how much these pots would cost in that. But
and what are you going to put in, annuals or perennials, and who's going to take care of them?
Yeah, who's going to water them?
Yeah.
Well, the Lions would take care of them.
Okay.
I mean, we wouldn't expect anybody else to do that. If anybody else wanted to do it, that we, you know, we'd be more than happy to take
somebody
the,
might
the
take
volunteer.
It upon themselves, which would be good.
We're just looking for other service projects to do around town. Help beautify some things too. So,
yeah, like up at a community hall, and depends if the
4-H,
do they still do that up there?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Well, last year they didn't. Sherry took that upon herself, so I'm sure we can manage to put flowers
up here. Yeah, sure.
You'll be able to handle that.
That falls into everything else that you're
going to do. Yeah.
We.
Well, I meant we.
I won't kill any plants.
Chris, are the Lions going to plant some more trees again in the park this year?
Indoor plants, I don't know about.
I know Greg and I talked before the meeting with Greg, and we talked about once it gets closer to springtime, you know, we can go through the park and identify some areas to put.
I know Dwayne usually goes to that auction up there, called the Conkey Brothers or whatever, on 212 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over there. Mm-hmm.
I think we should beautify around the our sign. What's
the electronic sign?
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, we can take a look at that.
And a couple of just downtown too.
A couple out here to patch in that's been falling down.
Jeremy, what's that orange cord you went out there on the side of the parking lot?
Outside, not on the parking lot, but on the grass.
On the grass.
Yeah, that's cable. They'll be out in the spring to bury that. Because when they built this tree back here, they cut the line.
Oops. Well, was that the Traverse County line?
No. The cable line.
Have you ever heard about that one?
Yeah, that one would have been cool. Boy.
Anyway. Good.
And then the other thing I have is that just everybody check their mail in. Probably next week about this time or a little bit later. Since we're not having Zimmerfest in 2016, the committee will be sending out letters, and attached to it will be a Survey Monkey for people to go to fill out the Survey Monkey. And the idea behind the Survey Monkey is to get an idea of future need of a celebration, and also to get an idea of the willingness of residents and community members to help volunteer and participate in the planning and subsequent succession of the plan. So
that'll be forthcoming here now.
Yep. And so
how many years in a row did the Zimmerfest celebration was that put on?
Late '70s did it start?
I'd say 1983 was the
But they had street dances and stuff that went back. Yeah, I don't know what they called it. This party.
I think you might be right. Zimmerfest might have started in 83.
Good one.
It was actually just referred to as the Hamburg Street Dance.
It's been a while.
Then the last thing I have is that on April 23rd, I mentioned it before, we're going to do food for kids. I did bring the sign-up sheet, so if you guys want half first crack at signing up, go ahead and do that after the meeting. And that it would be great, I think, for all of us to be able to be there at some point in time. I'll be there the whole time, but it would be good, I think, for just for our residents that we as council and city members.
I think I'm going to grab the kids and put them to work.
That's right. Yeah, there's jobs for everybody. I don't know if anybody's ever done the food stuff and anything like that, but there's a job for everybody that can be done. So I have the sign-up sheet here. That's all I have.
Steve?
On the Milky Building, is there anything being done on that, on brick?
The corner?
I haven't heard nothing now for a while.
Is that the one across the street from you?
Yeah.
But I know there were a couple letters sent out from Inspect. She had sent another, the last correspondence I had is she had sent a letter to Inspect asking for an engineer, and then they sent a letter back to her that, you know, they couldn't recommend an engineer because of their position.
Yeah.
So that's the last I've heard, but we can definitely follow up.
Yeah.
To see
I think we should get something going on that because the weather is
good.
I see we got a sign. I don't know if that was in the consent agenda or anything, but the 795, is that for the per year again?
No, that's for the
billing
for the water.
Billing, water utility billing program is what that is.
Oh.
For. That's just for customer support.
Oh.
$800 a year.
Which he said.
Whether I ask one question or 10,000 questions. And like I said, I haven't
for about
8 years because of the cost. So I've just been able to figure out most things myself and save the city money. So
they've got our old email address on there too. You know that.
And
maybe listen. They sent it to the right address. I'll look at it.
And the Summerfest sign out on the highway is falling down. One fell down and the other one is false advertising.
Yeah, lions are in the process of.
Pretty much deep.
Yeah.
I'm not having it, so.
There you go.
So I just was wondering if.
Lions are aware of it and we'll be taking care of it here shortly.
Okay.
To what extent? Just taking the other half down?
We're going to take the other sign down, and we're actually looking at getting a new sign put up there on both sides that will be essentially say something about along the lines Hamburg Lions upcoming events, and then we'll be able to slide in our events. And so it'll be kind of a makeshift electronic sign, if you want to call it.
Manual electronic
sign, yeah.
Uses no electricity, energy efficient.
Yep.
Very good.
A green sign.
All right. Oh, so because I thought it was a sportsman's
sign. No, the other sign is down below.
Right, but the three posts.
That was a little bit of a conversation last night on who put that up first, and we don't know exactly who put that up.
I always thought it was the sportsman's.
Because I just looked into it, because we are actually sharing the sportsman's section now between the fire department and the Hamburg Sportsman Club, because we are refurbishing that with them. We're putting our, just basically a blank sign up. Blank plywood, 4x10. Treated, painted, made it look good. So it's free advertising for anybody, but you have to take your own stuff from you. But I was told it was put up before Curry Walter bought the land, and whoever owned that before them put it up for advertising for the Hunting and Fishing Club. And that was back 60s, 70s.
That was Harvey Mockentoon and Elvira that lived out there.
I think that was Harvey Mockentoon was the name that got thrown out. Then Walters bought it, kept everything, left it the same, didn't tear it down. Talked to Tim, he says, anybody non-profit has any opinion, any option to use it. So that's why I got with the Hunting and Fishing Club and said, as the fire department, we're going to split the cost. Brand new signs, 4x10, treated, painted, pretty. Staple your stuff up, take it down when you're done. We're going to put a contact name on the back, it's right on the back, so if somebody wants to contact somebody.
So this is now where it says fish fry?
Yep. Because I brought it up to him, it's rotten away. I went and brought it up, basically 3/4 of the sign is rotten away on the south side.
Yeah, that's very.
So we're taking it down, hopefully by this weekend it's down and new stuff is up, and our sign for the pork chop is going to be up by this week.
I just have a question then, because the ladies with their garage sale, which is still going to go on
and
this year again.
For all I care, they can use it too. I know it's going to be with the barbecuing crew, the ones that put the sign up, and with the ladies. I mean, I'm willing to work with people.
You want to
put it up?
Are the bolts going to be the same spot?
Bolts are gone.
Okay, because what they had are 4x8 sheets of plywood with everything on it.
Oh, yeah. See, and I, because all the bolts are bent, twisted, they were going to come out. And, like I said, if anything, we can set something up, rig something up for them, with them, because, like I said, with the Hunting and Fishing Club, clean, pretty, staples only.
That's an idea.
And it's going to be framed. There's going to be 2x4 frame around it. So that idea would work. You know, we just don't want bolts, screws drilled into it. Staples, try to do as maintenance-free as possible. And that's what I brought up to the Hunting and Fishing Club for that section.
Because, a little... The holes match the bolts right now. We put them up plenty of time.
Yeah.
That's what, and I, like I said, I didn't know that that was part of it, and I, because I knew that was, who was in part of that was the Hunting and Fishing Club. Like I said, if we, I'm willing to work with them, if we want to do a hookover or a hangover or something like that.
That would work.
rig something up, because what is it, a 4x8 piece?
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd have 2 feet left over. Like I said, we got 4x10s. And it's concrete treated and painted.
You'd have to hook the top and then bolt the bottom because the window blowed.
And you'd have to get some kind of hook on the bottom. Because, like I said, between the fishing club and us, we did not want to do any drilling whatsoever besides mounting it to the post. That was the only drilling.
Well, basically, you could put another bracket on the bottom.
Yeah, whatever. I know the wind, if there's nothing there, the wind will blow.
Yeah.
And that's why we're putting the framing around that plywood and all that kind of stuff. And 5/8-inch thick concrete treated for concrete used plywood.
And when were you going to have this done by?
Hopefully this weekend, because I want to get our pork chops up.
Oh, okay.
So we have at least a month of advertising for the pork chop.
Sounds like a plan. Anything else?
No.
Me. I guess I'd look for a...
One quick question. I'm probably out of the loop for a while. I know what got brought up about the alleys and Red Rock. What has come of that? Are we still tabling that yet?
Well, right now it's on Schultz's to-do list for the spring here. He's going to... So at some point in time, hopefully within the next month or so, he's going to actually look at the alleys and see which ones do need gravel.
So I'm just bringing it up on my end. I know my alley needs it. Being I have Red Rock from the alley to the back of my garage and underneath, I'm looking at seeing if I can buy a load or a load and a half at city cost. You know what I'm saying? Because I know the townships do it. Townships will call around to all the homeowners at this cost, will sell you this class 5 at township cost, not at full price.
On that same note, when you guys do your drive around, I know when the snow got pushed down that alley, some of the weeds and the debris is pushed over on the side by the baseball diamond from the pile that's laying there.
And part of that is from my lawn and my neighbor's lawn that's just sloughy. And they like to dig nice and deep.
I think that should be that's got to get cleaned up, that pile.
Do we have to talk to the garbage trucks too about not driving on the...
Yeah, we've already... Yeah.
So, like I said, we can table it yet, but I'm just seeing if we can offer that offers out there.
I don't really... It's one of those things we haven't done ever even in life before here either.
It's one of them nights.
You know?
They said, we can table it, go home, I don't care. I guess, probably
talk to Greg too, when this is going to happen.
Yeah. See, I know I've talked to him about it, because if anything, I'd like to get rid of some of my Red Rock, because I can't get rid of the weeds anymore.
So
the dirt's pushed up.
On his to-do list, because when it's on his to-do list, then it comes back to somebody else's to-do list.
Okay.
You know, to bring it to town.
So I'm good with that. Just keep me in the loop. If I miss something or whatever, I'll be happy.
Are there a lot of wires in the alley?
Yes.
Sucks. Okay.
There's a lot of wires in that
alley. A lot of wires in that alley.
A lot.
And a boat.
And it's narrow.
And a boat. 16 feet wide in that alley.
According to a plot map, it is.
Okay, if there's anything else, I would look for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion made. Second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.